How to dream, cowboy.
Wait a second. What the fuck was that?
You didn't like that?
Anyway, welcome to the HBO Boys podcast. Today we are recapping and reviewing the season finale of Loki, season 1, episode 6, For All Time, Always. A little late this week, but that's just fine. I'm Adam, and with me today is Ryan, and freaking James, and freaking Chad. Sod it.
Yeah. Oh, thank you very much. Honestly, again, I've said this multiple times, but just in podcasts you're not even in, I think you should do the intros. You're much better than me at them.
Right.
No, James, I'm so glad that you're able to join us on this love fest for Loki this week.
It's great to have everybody on an episode, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Chad, I'm so glad you're also here.
Yeah, I'm also here. I'm Chad. I love Marvel. I know a lot about it.
I would. Can we do the? I'd like to do that bit for 60 minutes, if that's okay with everybody.
I mean, if you insist.
I don't insist. I'm not forcing it upon you or the audience, but James being Chad and himself, that's a lot of heavy lifting.
You know, I'm a consummate artist. I can just commit, okay?
I believe you, and I look forward to how this goes.
Wait, I'll be Chad. Brian, you say something about the show.
Okay, Loki, season 1, episode 6, although, you know, we know it's going to have a second season, it is affecting the MCU in a very large way. What do you think about that, Chad?
Uh-huh. Yeah. Okay. Is that too mean? Do we cut that out?
No.
Oh.
You're doing our friend Chad dirty.
No, Chad doesn't always, but there are times where, like, Ryan will say something, and Chad will just be like, yeah, fine. I agree.
Listen, sometimes that's all that needs to be said. It's better than dead silence. I'd like to frame this episode of Loki in this way. I'm going to just talk very quickly about what happened in episode 6. Stop me when you have something to say about it. And then we can really spend a lot of this time discussing the season as a whole, how it fits into the MCU, our overall review of the season, and whether or not the stakes are large enough for you and the rest of the world to care. But before we get into that, I will say we have a Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOIZ. A lot of different stuff is going to be put up there. We do bonus episodes, and everything we put up goes up early there, only $1 a month. And we haven't had a new patron in a very long time. This isn't me begging, but please, for the love of God, go give $1 to the Patreon. HBO Boys.
Right. If you're spending the time to message us on social media to be like, where's Loki? Maybe think about subscribing to the Patreon.
The first thing you said before we recorded was you were not going to bring the Facebook mess. I love every one of our fans. All 5 of them. And if any of you wanted to message us and be like, you're a week late, you sons of bitches, I respect that 100%. You're supposed to be Chad there.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
This is bullying. This is cyber.
This is bullying. We're just bullying him. We like our friend Chad very much, and we hope he shows up in the middle of this episode, because I need his help.
Well, let's make that a thing. Anybody who's supposed to show up but doesn't just get cyberbullied for the hour.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I look forward to my future cyberbullying. Okay, let's do a very quick summary of episode 6. There is an A and a B story. The B story is, wow, Owen Wilson, a.k.a. Mobius, is back in the TVA and confronts Ravonna, who is still being a cagey twit and who is not being very helpful. And then all of a sudden, Miss Minutes shows up, who it's now very clear she works for the quote-unquote bad guy. James, you called the Miss Minutes thing. Be honest with me. Did you read something on the internet, or did you just see her eyes and go, that orange bitch is fooling us?
Yeah, well, it just seemed like on par with the current Marvel TV show bullshit that they're pulling. And when they showed up at the castle and like it was Miss Minutes, I was like, got fucking the long shot paid off, baby.
Yeah. Where can I turn in this ticket?
I loved it.
This is like betting on the Detroit Tigers to win the series at the start of the fucking season.
I was 100% sure you cheated.
It didn't work out, though. She was not the ultimate bad guy.
No, but she was definitely an aide in it. Didn't she procrastinate?
She's like a sidekick.
Yeah.
She's Igor, and she'll probably be back.
Yes.
Anyway, Ravonna apologizes to Mobius for pruning him and explains that she could not let him get in the way of the TVA's mission, whatever it is. Mobius tells her that he knows her secret, and we go to Fremont, Ohio.
Which is an insane town because I've literally been to Fremont, Ohio.
Really?
Yep. So Ohio friends, Bianca and Nick and Phil and Greg, they are from Fremont, Ohio. Like, I sent them a screenshot of the show when it said Fremont, Ohio, and they were like, what the fuck? Because
well,
it literally
this podcast.
Is this tiny little town in Ohio. It's such a random town to put in this show, but hey, props to Fremont, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty cool. It's too bad that, like, the shoreline of Connecticut's claim to fame was a murder that happened in Madison. So close.
Yeah, right.
So close. Very similar to Fremont, Ohio, which we travel back to 2018, and we see Minutemen are chasing Hunter B-15 through Franklin D. Roosevelt High School. B-15 lures them into a specific office where Ravonna Renslayer appears, but oops, she is a high school principal and has no idea what's going on.
So throwback to that pen.
Yeah. The pen has come back to haunt the entire cast and the audience alike.
Mm-hmm.
Mobius and Ravonna continue to argue about the TVA being a lie and whether it's a lie that should stay in place to help keep the order. Ravonna opens a time door and declines Mobius's offer to start something new at the TVA. Mobius goes to attack mode, lunges his pruning stick at her, which sounds sexual, but it is not. He is very quickly disabled, and Ravonna gets a second chance to prune Mobius, but she also does not, saving him once more. And she goes to the door looking for free will, she says, whatever that means.
Oh.
It's funny that Ravonna, who is a character that's like emotionally dedicated to enforcing arbitrary rules, of course, is like a school principal.
Yeah. She's one of them who, like, I put the pow in principal, and you're like, okay. Over on the A story side, I'm not going to go through all of this, okay? It was 30 minutes of exposition from our new bad guy, who ends up being an amalgam character that they have dubbed He Who Remains, but it's obvious that they've put He Who Remains, Kang, Immortus, etc. into one dude who's going to be multiple versions of himself in the future anyway. Lazy or intriguing? You decide.
It could be both. I mean, I think it's Marvel's ditch attempt to bring all these characters into one without having to explain everything in a separate show or a separate storyline.
It's like the Wizard of Oz ending if they had never mentioned the wizard for the whole movie up to that point.
Yeah. So he lived on Earth in the 31st century, long before the TVA even existed. This variant discovered the existence of parallel universes, and similar variants from these other worlds discovered the same. Contact between all of them was made. First, they shared ideas and technology, and things were relatively cool. And then some of the variants were not so chill. And before long, the multiversal war broke out between them. They were all just kind of fighting each other. Each variant stepped up to defend their universe from being taken over or wiped out. And He Who Remains is the last one who remained, hence his name, straying away from He Who Remains is in the comics, but still a very cool name. Glad they gave it to him.
He's always the last one that remains.
That backstory, he was like chilling and then he contacted his self from another universe. That's been done in a lot of stuff already. That happened in Bioshock Infinite. It happened in Rick and Morty. Ooh. It's like Medivh and Gul'dan in Warcraft as well.
I was going to say name five, but I'll take three.
It's a good effort.
And yeah, sci-fi tropes are tough because the amount of stuff being made that is mocking or having fun with sci-fi tropes is numerous. So it's hard to, I don't know. I think it's tough to be like, well, Simpsons did it. Yeah, Simpsons has done everything. What do you want us to do about it?
But I really love Jonathan Majors here. He's really good.
Oh, he's good.
I still love Lovecraft Country and him in it, and he's great here, and it shows off his range because he's nothing like Tick in this scene.
No, and I also saw a tweet I liked, which is, So, taking bets now, what year is Jonathan Majors going to win his Academy Award? And someone was like, supporting 2023 and Best Actor 2025, calling it right now. I'll take that long bet. And I think they're right. He is about to be one of the biggest stars on Earth.
Yeah, if there really were good. A prop bet that I could get in on, like, will Jonathan Majors have an Academy Award by 2025, I would say yes.
Yeah, for sure. He Who Remains offers Loki and Sylvie two options. By the way, the two Lokis are here. They can kill him to free the timeline. This will also restart the multiverse war and unleash a limitless number of variants, specifically variants of him, that will be not quite as nice as this one is. Loki is listening to him intently, while Sylvie is not at all convinced. She cannot trust, and he cannot be trusted, which is an exact line they said, which sums up the entire show, until they fight about it. And then they smooch, all before she sends him through a time door, and Sylvie kills He Who Remains, and the isolated timeline surrounding the castle begins to crack and shatter. A crying Sylvie sits before her victim as she tries to make sense of everything that will soon unfold.
Realizing she fucked up.
And I think she knew what she was going to do. Or I knew she knew what she was doing.
She did, but then she knew what she was doing, but...
You know how I know she knew what she was doing, Adam?
Why?
Because it was diligently explained to her for 30 minutes.
Yes, but she was not listening. She was on a war path. Moving forward. Must kill.
I don't know. That benefit of that doubt is tough for me to
So do you think
reach.
She wanted to spiral the timeline?
I think that...
Or did she just didn't believe that was going to happen and she was going to do whatever she needed to do to kill...
I think she believed it was going to happen and she didn't care.
Mm. Like her, she was very selfish.
Yeah, but I mean, again, she's a Loki.
That's
a main trait of a Loki, right?
Oh, that's right. That's what this show's about.
That's not supposed to be a surprise.
Yeah, fair.
I am just so sick of liars and fake friends because the showrunner said that there was not going to be a romance between the two Lokis, and he lied. He's a cock-a-doodle liar. And it's just like when they said that Jon Snow wasn't coming back to life. And I just say nothing. Like, what do you gain by lying to the audience?
Was it a romance, though? Was it really a romance, or was it just in-the-moment kind of thing?
They put their mouths on each other.
If you and I are in the moment, Adam, and I kiss you, is that romantic?
Absolutely. James, it's always romantic when we make out.
Of course it's romance, Adam. Of course it was. The moment where they look at each other's eyes while the planet is exploding in the second or third episode, the whole of the audience is like, oh, they are going to smooch. And then the creator was like, mm-mm, they're not going to smooch. And you're like, really? It feels like they're going to smooch.
They're smooching hard. Hard smooch vibes.
Hard smooch vibes.
Yeah.
Chad just said, did I miss it?
Yes.
Chad comes in and then he can say words about all of this. He said 2 seconds. Uh-huh. So I'm going to continue until he gets here.
Wonderful.
Back to the TVA we go. Loki is straight up devastated. He finally finds Mobius and Hunter B-15 discussing the future. There, he frantically recounts the events of this episode and makes clear that they made a grand mistake. A confused Mobius and B-15 ask for his name and division, which is like, what? Loki, now realizing he is either in a different timeline or an altered timeline, looks to the spot where giant timekeeper statue used to be, and now it is a statue of Kang the Conqueror. Or so we think. It could be a Mortis. It looks like Jonathan Majors is the point.
It's Jonathan Majors.
Also, what happened to Casey? Is Casey all right? Then we get a 5-second post-credit scene where Loki will return in season 2. Cool.
Yeehaw.
And now I have some questions for y'all.
Okay.
And these are those questions. This is the first one. Protagonists usually are introduced at the beginning of stories so that they can like have internal change that goes along with the narrative. They have the opportunity to subvert expectations or set expectations at all. And they can explain their reasoning for being bad in a very fun monologue. Loki introduced our main antagonist. Did I say protagonist or antagonist up top? I don't know.
Yeah.
You said protagonist.
Fuck. Should I start that again? I'm not going to.
Okay.
So they introduced our main antagonist in the last 40 minutes. Besides Jonathan Majors' wonderful performance, and subtracting the fact that Disney can just throw money at generationally talented actors, have the effects happening, have a set design that's unreal, have decent dialogue writing, etc., from a Rick and Morty alum, to get you through scenes that are, you know, again, 30 minutes of exposition, which is usually not allowed in most TV shows, because in most of the shows that anyone watches, that's boring. Was the choice of waiting that long to introduce Kang a mistake?
I didn't think it was done very well, actually. Jonathan Majors was really good. It would have been nice to see maybe more of him. Like, maybe instead of Ravonna, he should have been, like, the TVA lieutenant or something.
Right, that would have been better. Yeah.
And it was just kind of weird. It was a weird experience to just be sitting through him explaining the actual, like, the big reveal for 30 minutes of the last episode. Like, as you said, it was a full half an hour of him being like, okay, well, here's where the wool was over your eyes. And that ending where it's like, okay, so now you have a choice to make. You either do the good thing or the bad thing to get the good ending or the bad ending. And I was like, this is a fucking video game. This is a Bethesda game. This is the end of a Bethesda game.
It did feel a little cheap. They were serving up the, hey, Sylvie and Loki, you guys are different. Are you going to make different choices on like a silver platter that felt like it was wholly unearned, which is a phrase I say too much about MCU shows.
Jonathan Majors, though, did his best to make this scene more tolerable with his wacky performance. And I mean, it is fun to see him, and it's fun to see the actress who plays Ruby. We're not going to get Lovecraft Country Season 2, which is so sad. They're bringing back Raised by Wolves. They're not bringing back Lovecraft Country.
Unfucking real. Unreal.
They're bringing back Raised by Wolves?
Yeah. Inexplicable.
Oh, yeah. That's insane.
They just want to keep sucking Ridley Scott's... Whatever, dude. Anyway, yes. Adam, what do you think? Were you satisfied with 30 minutes of Kang at the end?
I like Jonathan Majors again. I think a lot of people's first time seeing him is in Lovecraft Country. And
yeah, okay. But if he did one notch worse, right?
Yeah.
If he was an average actor and not a brilliant actor, would this episode have gotten as big of a pass as it has online?
No. No. I think that if we made it a little bit better, it would have been this episode happening episode 5 and then like just extending his stay a little bit more instead of having him just be the last half hour and oh by the way, you're making this decision. Oh, I'm dead and I'll be back like in season 2. All right, sick. Like, why'd you have to tickle my balls a little bit? Like, we want more. Like, he is really good, and I like the character a lot, at least this version of him. But I think it could have been reorganized a little bit.
Okay, Chad, you've just joined. The question is, was introducing Kang, or whatever you'd like to call him, in the last 30 minutes, the main antagonist of the series, a little cheap? Was it too late? Did Jonathan Majors killing the role allow for what feels a little like a bit too easy of a narrative? James brought up, what if Ravonna Renslayer was Jonathan Majors the whole time? And then, oh, he's Kang at the end. Like, would that have been better? What are your thoughts?
No, I think that what they did was really smart because we, through what appeared to be a benevolent character, we were able to understand just how powerful that character can be. And I think that if Kang, because Kang knows everything that's going to happen before it happens. So if we introduce that character too early in the show, it becomes like either they already have to break the rules to get around him, or they have to tone him back so far that we don't understand that.
But can't he make decisions purposely that would be like red herring moments? Like, there'd be a YouTube video at the end of season 1 that would be like, every time Kang knew it was going to happen but let it happen anyway, and he had a little smirk that let us know it was
right. Yeah, I feel like it would have felt cheaper if we met him sooner, because now we've met this kind version of Kang, and we like the idea of him as a villain knowing everything that's going to happen before it happens, and like an infinite number of them. It's terrifying.
That's an interesting perspective. I actually like that better now that he said that.
oh, Adam,
I do. I like that better. Seriously. Like the fact that we know him as this nice guy, kind of a very normal, understanding type of person. That's just like, here's what it is. Choose to believe it or not. And then him being what we imagine him to be in the future, it's way more powerful for sure. Yeah.
I mean, I obviously have a narrative issue with it. I think having the antagonist the entire series is just like a cornerstone of storytelling, and doing it the other way, it can work, but it can't work as well. And the only way to pull it off is a percentage of what they did.
You know, I think I agree with you to a point, but what I think the reason why it works here is that the TVA is Kang throughout the show. He made the TVA to act out his will.
Yeah, but that's not what you see on screen.
Yeah, and it really got around Jonathan Majors' scheduling.
Ravonna, to me, was a very boring and lame villain. And she's what we got for most of the show. And I guess they did kind of defeat her. Although it was a pretty paltry defeat, she just kind of left of her own accord. And I guess that's a cliffhanger, but it's like, I don't care whatever it is she goes to do.
Have we discussed who sent her the message?
We have not, but I'll say one thing more about her and then we can get there. Does she feel a little bit like Monica Rambeau to you in the sense that she is being sold to us as going to matter, but I'm not 100% convinced I care?
She's more like, oh God, who could remember her name? The leader of the Flag Smashers.
Oh,
it's just like, oh, yeah, Carly? You're just really... Yeah, you're not Carly. That menacing, and you're not that interesting.
No, I think she was at least... Let's not get into Falcon and the Winter Soldier, Jane. We cannot do this for the next 30 minutes where you think Carly is better than Ravonna Renslayer, because that is wholly inaccurate.
If Sylvie were, like, the kind of the villain character leading up to the end, like, she was much more compelling than Ravonna.
Well, I mean, yeah. Didn't we kind of learn... through the actions of the characters at the end that it wasn't so much that there was an external villain, but it was about like Loki's understanding what Lokis are and overcoming themselves, and our Loki did and Sylvie Loki didn't.
Yeah, but you're making my argument for me, which is because, yeah, that's what it is about. Shouldn't the 30 minutes of the finale have been about that and not about Jonathan Majors talking?
Well, it kind of was.
And that was like the ultimate setup, you know?
Yeah, for them to say a sentence.
He's like, I just want Sylvie to be okay. And what he's actually saying is like, I just want to feel okay. That was pretty good writing.
I don't think Loki, the main character of the show, the name of the show, having like 100 words total in the season finale is a good way to go.
I think Chad's mounting a good defense. I mean, I did not like this show, but I think what Chad's saying is fair.
Listen, I liked this show. This is the thing about this. I liked it much better than Falcon and the Winter Soldier. And I have to think really hard, and we're going to probably have to answer this at the end, whether we like this or WandaVision more, you know, minus James. We all know his wackadoo feelings. But like, this is a show that I very much enjoyed. And by the way, I think like it kind of stuck the landing in a way because Jonathan Majors kicks so much ass.
I do like that we all agree that Falcon and the Winter Soldier is the benchmark by which we rate these shows.
Oddly enough.
So Mobius does not remember anything at the end of the season. Does that suck or is that fine?
Well, it's a different Mobius.
Yeah, I know. Does that suck?
A little.
Where's his jet ski?
Can we ever get back to the first situation? Like, that seems kind of impossible now, right?
Do you think we're going to have like an A and B story kind of thing where we get the first situation and the second situation? Like, there's two versions of Mobius in the second season, or no? Are we just starting slate clean, tabula rasa this bitch?
Let me answer your question with a question.
Perfect.
So Sylvie kicks Loki through the door, yeah. And he's back in the TVA, and then time passes, and then she kills Kang. Mm-hmm. But
she killed Kang at the end of time.
we learned that time is ever changing and is volatile, and like it can, the past can change.
Time is whatever we need it to be narratively.
It's volatile, but Loki went through the door and ended up in a different time, a different version of the TVA before Kang was killed and like order was disturbed. Is that relevant?
I don't know. You just like, you have to decide what the things that you're saying are relevant.
It's such a mind fuck to think about. Cause like, so in Back to the Future, they have to go back to the past where old Biff met young Biff, right? Because they can't go anywhere else because time would be changed. How do you go and undo something which happened at the end of time? Right?
Well, they said previously that the temp pad that she has can go anywhere that time's already existed. Like, it can't go into the future, but it can go into the past, right? Did I remember that right?
Well, the temp pads must be able to go, they must be fifth dimensional. They must be able to jump in between timelines. Like, yeah, sure, they can travel through time, but really, if you think about what they're doing, they're jumping into variant realities and deleting them.
So did she just pick a generic TVA dropdown on the temp pad and kick them through a random door?
Or how did she know how to use that weird-ass temp pad?
Right.
And here's something. So if I go back in time and I shoot my own great-grandfather, then I don't exist, mm-hmm. right?
No, not in Marvel.
If I go forward in time and shoot my own great-grandson, that's not going to change anything to me.
Well, no, but James, what you're missing, time is a flat circle. There's not a beginning and a middle and an end. When Kang was keeping everything in order, the TVA was keeping everything in order. When the TVA goes down, there's nothing there to keep the timeline from spawning these volatile variant timelines, which is just something that it naturally does.
Mm. Right, but I'm saying that in Kang and Sylvie's position, all of this has already happened. So what is killing him change anything?
I don't know, for one. This leads to my next question, which is, we now have the multiverse. We have set pictures of Tobey Maguire, Spider-Man, probably Andrew Garfield in there as well, meaning that the MCU can now write away anything they do not like or that does not make sense to them or the audience, hopefully. Another timeline, another verse, etc. Will the MCU be better for it, or is this the proverbial jumped shark? And I only ask that because I believe that once time travel is introduced into a story, which it was in Endgame, it does cheapen it a bit. And it cheapens it a percentage, however you want to say it. But like, the moment they can just be like, oh, by the way, none of that mattered, we went back in time, it obviously makes the things in the past at least different, and different in a positive or negative way. You get to choose. But, you know, another timeline, another verse. Chad, you've talked about this in the past for sure, where you see this as a overall positive. It just means it's more stories. What is everyone's feelings on the extended universe?
The next time anybody watches Infinity War and watches Loki get killed, it's like, well, he's fine. He's over in the other dimension.
I guess that's true. Well, I think that they were trying to, like, they told the Infinity War story and it ended.
Yeah.
You know, and then everything that happens after that, they're just kind of hoping, like, that's the extended cut, you know?
Well, this is going to open up to the, correct me if I'm wrong, the Secret Wars or the Secret Invasion or something like that.
Yeah. So I was gonna comment on that. So, I think we're talking about the multiverse and time travel like they've opened Pandora's box and you can't put the cap back. Whatever the expression, you can't put the cap back in the bag. I don't know what it is.
Whatever metaphor you'd like.
Insert a metaphor.
Can't put
here.
The ship back in the barn.
There you go. But I think that what they're building towards is Secret Wars, the first Secret Wars, with Battleworld, and what that gives this, like, this phase 4 probably through 6, it lets them go wild with their stories.
What Secret Wars?
I was going to say, we should explain to the audience, it's basically the ultimate showdown of Ultimate Destiny.
Yeah. It's the ultimate showdown!
Wow.
So,
what a throwback.
The Secret Wars in the comics, there was these things called incursions, and basically it was where two universes collided and only one could survive. And when they collided, they had these big battles and the winners would get to whatever. So I think that this has to end with that, because if they keep on spiraling out of control, they're going to lose what makes the MCU so great, and that is the connectedness. You were right, Brady, when you said, like, did they jump the shark? Is it too much? Does nothing matter anymore? I think that that's how they make it matter, by ending the multiverse and having that be like the end game of this new arc.
Right. Having all three Spider-Mans in the end fight, which I believe we talked about in the past, where you said you didn't think there was going to be an on your left moment. Do you now think differently?
I don't know.
When they get to the ultimate showdown, though, like, if the X-Men, like, Wolverine's fighting fucking Ant-Man or some shit, and then like, Darth Vader steps out, right? They could do that shit, like.
But will they go to that extent? I hope, sure hope not.
I don't know. I mean, in F9, they have a car in space, Adam. Okay,
yeah, you know what? You know what would be funny is they would be making a new DCU, but it would be the Disney Cinematic Universe.
Oh my god,
not DC, and it'd be like a big fuck you to the DCU.
Oh Jesus!
Of course, like Goofy and fucking all of it.
Yeah, Sora with the keyblade shows up.
And if Sora's in Smash Brothers, then suddenly Mario's there.
I'm not gonna do a Mario voice. I feel like that's. I'll just do it.
That's
weird
cultural appropriation.
Hey, Chad, who did send that message? You said that like 10, 20 minutes ago, but I forgot it.
What?
The message to Ravonna.
Oh, yeah. So Miss Minutes was like, she's like, here's this file that you probably care about. So Miss Minutes still is important. And actually, final episode was cut down a lot. It changed a lot. After the reshuffle of all the release times for the shows, and there was supposed to be like a 20-minute long conversation with Miss Minutes at the end, so she's a bigger deal. She's a bigger deal than we know. But a going theory right now is that one of the evil Kangs is inside of the city in the quantum realm, which I'm blanking on the name right now, I apologize, which exists outside of time, which would mean that Kang couldn't notice it wouldn't cause variant split offs or whatever, and he was sending messages to Miss Minutes to kind of manipulate Kang, and then got what's her face, and then he basically called her to him, which would go for the theory that, like, you know, they're in love, so they're gonna do whatever they're gonna do.
Right. You thought he was the puppet master. No. There are 8 more puppet masters above them.
But so he's the bad guy in Loki, and Loki's always kind of been like a comedy relief villain, or he usually is. And then he's also going to be the bad guy in Ant-Man, and he's the comedy relief hero. So is Kang, and also the very hammy way that Jonathan Majors played him, like, he's not going to be the next Thanos. He's going to be, like, the goof-em-up villain.
No, I disagree.
You think he's the next Thanos?
I think he's the next Thanos. I think they introduced him in a funny way to juxtapose the guy we
get.
Was
it a bit of a jokery way? And I know jokery, like Heath Ledger Joker is a generalized, like, people are just kind of, it's easy to look at any new villain you see and be like, oh, that crazy guy is a little like the Joker. But still, and I don't know if it is a attribute of the character or just a choice that Jonathan Majors made, but a part of me was like, that's a bit jokery.
Yeah, so Emily Blunt in Cruella is Girl Joker, and Jonathan Majors in Loki is Time Joker.
You watched Cruella?
No, nobody did.
Okay, good.
Jesus.
Oh, you know what, guys? You know who's a good anti-hero? A lady who kills puppies.
Yeah, I can relate to that.
I bet you can't, Chad. I bet you can't!
Brady, you're being very jokery right now.
Yeah, you're fucking right, dude.
Well, so we talked this episode to death. Should we give an overall review of the season?
Yeah, I just have one more question, which is, we have like 15 Marvel Cinematic Universal whatever's on the docket, right? Quickly, they're Ant-Man and the Quantum Rump, Doctor Strange and the Multiverse of Oreos, Loki season 2, What If, which is coming up in 2 weeks. We're totally gonna do What If, right, guys? And that's not a joke.
What if we did?
I would love that. 10 Rings, Eternals, Spider-Man, Hawkeye, Boo, Miss Marvel,
oh,
Thor,
my God,
Love and Thunder, She-Hulk, Black Panther, Wakanda Forever, The Marvels, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Fantastic Four, Blade, Deadpool 3, Captain America 4, Moon Knight, Secret Invasion, Ironheart, Armor Wars, I Am Groot. So before we get to the review of the entire season as a whole, has Loki raised or lowered your expectations for the next 5 years of the MCU, knowing that docket?
They haven't moved an inch.
Wow. I mean, now that we're seeing it actually happen, I mean, we all have heard murmurs of the comic book canon, and this is what happens in the stories, but to see it actually on screen in the MCU, I mean, I'm excited for it for sure. Like this, I love the whole universe. So yeah, some stuff isn't as good as others, but this has rightfully set up. And James, this show has now affected the actual MCU beyond just the TV shows, I think. I mean, yes, it did.
It did.
It did.
Is that a condescending clap?
No, I agree with Adam. I said that was like the one thing I wanted out of the ending, and
yeah,
it paid off.
And guess what? It did, so now you like it better than Falcon and Winter Soldier.
That's exactly what I was about to say.
Otherwise, you got to eat your words.
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
No, no, Fasia 210. Okay, so yeah, review of the season. Do you want to just say, you know...
Wait, well, hold on a second.
Okay. Whoa.
It raised my expectations for the MCU.
It raised them.
Give me that hot take, Chad. Give me that hot take.
Well, I mean, the way that they're doing the multiverse and the consequences for what they're doing, they're bigger than what I expected them to do. Mm. When they said they were going to do the multiverse of madness, I thought that it was going to be like a one-off, like Doctor Strange is doing the multiverse and something previously set it up. But the way that they're pitching it now, it's going to affect, it has to affect everything. And there's, I mean, we don't have time to talk about it right now, but I watched, I forget what it was, but I watched a video on YouTube that broke down like these like teases about time travel and its effect on the future of the MCU in Endgame. So I think that, I mean, they took the gloves off and they can literally do anything and make it canon, and they don't need to listen to the past. I think that it will fall on its face if they don't bring it back together at some point.
Right.
But they can literally do anything now. They can have in the Spider-Man movie that's coming out. We already know there's two other Spider-Men. They could have Spider-Pig in there.
I would love that.
You know, yeah, he could be there. They're not going to find the pictures of him on set because he's animated. But he could be in the movie.
Such a good point. No, there's an actual pig on set. We're like, I got him.
Yeah, there,
there he is. Someone's mo-capping the pig.
He's with the alligator.
Andy Serkis is the
he's
pig.
With Loki alligator.
But do you mean the Toon pig from the movie, or do you mean Homer's pig from the Simpsons movie?
Little bit of column A, little bit of column B.
I meant Spider-Ham, but I guess Spider-Pig could be there too.
Okay, guys, everybody, three-word answers. Will Wanda or Kang be a better villain?
Wanda.
That's a one-word answer.
Yeah, you need two more in there.
Wanda will be.
Adam?
Could go either.
Great, good stuff.
I mean, yeah.
Why just one?
Ooh.
Okay. Well, I'll take that.
God damn you.
God damn you. Pulled me back in. Okay. Yeah. Review. What did you think of the season as a whole? Will you ever watch it again?
No, Ryan, what did you think of the season as a whole? Okay.
Fuck, dude. You called me out.
Chivalry's not dead.
It is. It's also bankrupt. Woody Allen, who I assume is problematic. He's problematic. Okay. I liked Loki. I think in retrospect, I think I liked WandaVision better. I liked Loki's end better, but just overall, I liked WandaVision as a whole just because it was not just about Wanda. It was also tackling like TV concepts, and I found that generally interesting. But I did have slight issues with the end of Loki, like I've already said. I've about how much I wanted it to have Tom Hiddleston's face on screen in the last 40 minutes. I didn't think it was nearly enough. But, you know, we're getting season two anyway. And so maybe I should just be happy with the meal that was served to me and stop being a cynical twat. What do you guys think?
Mm-hmm. I liked it. I liked the I liked the series. Was I expecting something different? Yes. I think everyone was expecting something different. The way it kind of when it took off very quickly and stuff started changing very quickly. I thought it was going to take a heck of a lot longer. Do I like it better than WandaVision? I think they're right on the same kind of plane for me. I liked WandaVision just like you said, Ryan, the TV aspect of it, the whole concept of how the show went was different and exciting and interesting to watch. And Paul Bettany is a masterclass. So I like those characters a lot, and I like this a lot because, again, Tom Hiddleston, fantastic. It was entertaining to watch. They're all entertaining to watch for me. There's bits and pieces that are better in others, but yeah, I did like it. Was it better than Falcon and Winter Soldier for me? Yep.
Ooh, that took you a little long. Sophia DiMartino, too, and Owen Wilson. Like, the three main characters, once you get to four, Renslayer, there are some, I think, some hiccups there. But Sophia DiMartino is also so great in this. Mm. And Owen Wilson, you never thought you'd see him in the MCU, and he ends up being
great.
The bright, shining light of the show. And the moment at the end where he doesn't recognize Loki is so tragic, and he's not on his jet ski yet, which is also a terrible tragedy.
He never said wow.
He did not once say wow.
Also, tragically, Luke Wilson is languishing in the DCEU.
Ugh.
So tough for him. J.K. Simmons gets to do both.
James.
What?
What'd you think?
tell us.
Okay,
well,
you guys, you ever play Super Smash Brothers or Mario Party and one 100%. Person's like really good and strong, and so all the other peons like team up on him, and then it's 3 versus 1?
Yes.
Well, that's what we're about to do here, okay? So, I like MCU shows and movies a lot, right? But to channel the immortal Martin Scorsese, they are for stupid babies, which is fine because I'm a stupid baby, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah, go on.
Is that a direct Martin Scorsese quote?
And so,
okay,
I think none of these are high art, right? You wouldn't put these up against most of prestige TV, and they wouldn't fare very well, right?
Are you, like, gatekeeping for Shawshank Redemption right now? Like, what are you doing?
No, I'm saying, you know, we're not exactly, and I'm not going to go to Shawshank Redemption. First of all, it's very funny that that's where you went for, like, an auteur piece of cinema.
That's because it's fucking great. Nobody looks at a man's shoes, James. Are we about to fight about this?
I'm just saying, like, up against the great prestige TV of the day, let's say, like, Breaking Bad, how about, as an example.
These so
shows
different.
Don't compare to
Not
something
at all.
Of
yeah,
that
but
caliber.
I don't think it's
I'm just talking
fair
about the
to
writing.
Compare them.
I'm talking about the writing. And so, in terms of that, these shows are junk food, right? And I'm a big fat guy. I like junk food. but since to me, they are all just, you know, it's the Krusty the Clown seal of approval. Good enough, right? They're all good enough. They all are in that kind of middling sort of pop pulp era or pop pulp genre. And I think, like, because they're all kind of disposable, they're all kind of. And because they're all kind of, four stupid babies, I like Falcon and the Winter Soldier the best because it did actually have the balls to go there on a number of issues. And you could say the writing in Falcon and Winter Soldier is bad. Hey, guess what? The writing in all three of the shows isn't that good.
Oh, and you know, I'll take any hot take Falcon, I can get.
Meanwhile, Falcon and the Winter Soldier is actually addressing things like America as empire and its role in the world and its complicated racial history and the way that, like, you know, the racial dynamics in the United States play into these kind of patriotic superheroes and that kind of. Issues. I don't know.
I'm leaving that entire pause in there. Yeah, but Sam is weak and Thor is strong.
Basically, right? And that's the Ryan just summed up the perfect counter argument. Right.
So first of all, I think that if you went into any of these shows expecting Breaking Bad, that's on you.
Yeah.
But
I didn't. That was not my expectation. I'm just now comparing them. All right. If there's a hierarchy of shows, these ones are not on the top.
Okay. Secondly, my review. So you guys all saw Wreck-It Ralph, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Do you guys remember the way they pitched that movie in the trailers? It was about this guy who was from essentially like classic Donkey Kong, and he, you know, grew tired of being the bad guy, so he decided to hop into other video games to try to be a hero. That's what they sold us. And the premise that I got in those trailers was, I'm going to watch this guy go into a Mario game, go into a Sonic game, go into Call of Duty, go into all these modern games. And what we got was, he tried a game, And then he went to Sugar Rush, which is just like some stupid arcade racing game. And the whole movie took place in that one game, and I didn't care. That was a good movie. This show was pitched to us as Loki traveling through time causing mischief, and we didn't get it, but we got something else. And I think in that sense, I'm disappointed, because I really wanted that Loki fucks with time story, but I'm glad that we got what we got in the long run, because I just see so much potential.
You are so right. They did sell us what I considered be a more interesting story. When I saw the D.B. Cooper thing, I was like, oh my God, are we going to see new Lokis every episode? And the way that Loki is going to get through to the new Lokis is that he's going to be affecting history in some way. Like, we're going to learn.
Yeah, it was
going to
be that, like Quantum Leap with Loki.
Yeah, that 3-minute D.B. Cooper scene was doing a lot of heavy lifting in the trailers.
Yeah. It really, and like, I wanted Carl Hanratty and Frank Abagnale Jr. I wanted Catch Me If You Can Loki, because that's what was sold to me. And I was like, that would be sick. And then they just like, in the second episode, right, he goes through the door and you're like, oh, this shit's going to be different. And I'm going to have to deal with that.
So I will say, James, it's not going to be 3-1, because I think I was disappointed with the show. But but I don't think it was a bad show.
James and Chad agreeing. It is the Dark Alliance.
Yeah, the one that's going to end up being Adam, because I do cynically lean towards what James is saying. And I have been weirdly cynical about the MCU ever since the end of Endgame and beyond.
Oh, and Black Widow did not help.
I do want to say the writing was a little shaky at times, but the premise was interesting. I think they just needed to flesh it out a little bit more, because I think that a lot of us ended the show with more questions than we started with.
Which is, I suppose, what's supposed to happen when there's a second season of something, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, like, I've got questions about, like, foundationally how, the branch timelines work.
So, to be a little tangential here, I've been doing on this podcast this like Call of Cthulhu game that Ryan and Adam are in, and I realized that in the third part I'm like, oh, the combat's boring as fuck. I should really scale that back and just make it about like dialogue and choices for the last part. And that's what they should have done with Loki too, because the fight scenes in this show suck ass. And
oh, they
the
were
fight
bad.
Choreography is real bad.
It was bad. It was bad.
It was weird, because like they threw away, like, you guys were talking about earlier podcast that like Loki didn't know how to fight, and that's not true. He did know how to fight. He fought.
He's a black belt. He has knives. Also, he can throw a building.
We found that out in this show too.
Yeah, he can do the Yoda thing from Attack of the Clones and hold up a building.
Are we being spoiled, little brats? Though, like, a part of me thinks that I do lean cynical on all of this. I have been for the last 2 years. But another part of me is like, no, you enjoyed it. Shut the fuck up. Like, I don't know.
No, I mean,
I don't
we
know
can talk
way
about this just in the vein of comic movies. There's been a lot of good ones in the past 5 years or so, right? And so because there are good ones, we can be critical of the boring ones or of the bad ones or of the ones that could have been better.
I would watch episode 1 of this show, I think 10,000 times, rather than watch in a hour of Justice League again, for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, absolutely.
Yep.
Guys, you want to talk for 20 minutes about how Superman sucks?
Jeez. To make a brief comment on what you said, how you said, well, it's going to just be Adam and us three against him. So, I mean,
Us.
Adam's sitting on a white sofa and the three of us are standing behind him.
Yeah. So I too, when the first episode happened and we were talking about it on this podcast, we were saying, oh, it's going to be this. He's going to be Loki travels time, different Lokis doing different things and like fighting other, like it's going to be a different villain every episode. And that's going to be cool and exciting. But how would have that ended this series? Like, where would it have gone if that was the only thing that could have, that was happening? Like, did they eventually get to this storyline with Kang in the end of
time? What? You know what, Adam?
Adam's right. The ending was good.
The ending was good, but you know what? That's up to the writers.
That's true.
Not,
but do you
not
think,
the critics.
Now, do you think it would have been better to do this first season as Loki fighting different villains every episode, and then the last episode seasons of this season, episode 6, they set up the TVA being a facade, and then you get into the Kang in season 2 and you don't even see him in season 1? Would that have been better?
Yes.
I think I would have liked it if they split the season in half and they made us care a bit more about the TVA and trust them a little bit more in the beginning.
Okay.
And then they condensed the last 4 episodes into 2 episodes.
Yeah, did we really need that lamentous freaking episode, really?
Well, are they going to smooch? Are they going
to fuck?
You know what? Get us to fucking episode 6, post-credit scene. It's not Kang, it's Alligator Loki. I'm like, what? Oh my god, I'm so in for season 2, dude.
Yeah, I mean, like, I did enjoy it. I as with all the Marvel properties, I they're entertaining to me. I'm going to like them. There's very few that I really, really just won't watch more than once. Like, James, you have many. There's very few that I have that I won't, you know, I'll watch more than once, or I won't watch more than once.
Are you going to watch any of these shows again?
So I did end up rewatching WandaVision and Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
I already did.
Well, because my dad wanted to watch them, and so I would
rewatch
the episodes
with my wife too.
Yeah. So I'd rewatch them, and then I'd pick up stuff that I missed, which was actually kind of good. I have not done that with Loki yet, so I probably will do it another run through because there was stuff that I did miss for sure, and there's stuff that I kind of want to redigest again and maybe come up with new theories. Who knows? But
I'm probably only going to watch the Modern Family episode of WandaVision out of all 3 shows ever again.
Oh.
Probably.
It was good.
It was good. It was pretty good. I liked it a lot.
You gonna skip the space laser at the end?
No.
Okay.
What about the space laser, Jack? Yeah.
I'm just saying. I mean, you gotta watch it. If it's a Marvel property, there's gotta be a space laser. At least this one had the decency of making it a space ring laser.
Listen, Chad, is it one of the 3? Wizards, space lasers, or space laser? Falcon of the Winter Soldier. At least you know what I know. You know what I know for sure? Falcon of the Winter Soldier is going to be Citizen fucking Kane compared to Hawkeye. That shit is going to suck.
I don't think it's going to be as bad as you think it is.
I know. Well, no, I don't.
Based on how much I enjoyed our Justice League episodes, I'm really looking forward to Hawkeye.
I so deeply hope it's good, and I'm like, fuck, guys. I could not have been more wrong.
Guys, it could be really good. You're. It's like, it's fun to not like Hawkeye, and that's what you were all reacting to.
Jeremy Renner's face is the most punchable.
He just hates Jeremy Renner.
I do not like Jeremy Renner.
What if it was sure. Jason Statham as Hawkeye? Would you like it better?
It's also weirdly worse. I'm sorry. I guess he's cool in the comics. I wouldn't know, but like, it's lame to have
Tom Cruise Hawkeye.
I've always liked bow and arrows.
Like since when you were a little kid at summer camp and you were shooting them at a target?
Like the Green Arrow and
Green Arrow, that's what, like, I was thinking of.
Robin Hood.
Yeah, that's cool.
Odysseus.
Brave.
Odysseus shot Brave. His arrow through all the Who axes. That's cool. Brave was good. It was okay. But
you guys know guns were invented, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, but guns are
his bow and arrows are silent.
His arrows have many different
silencers you put on guns.
His arrows have many different things that he can do, though.
Yeah,
he has exploding arrows.
He
has electric arrows.
There's like a finesse.
John Wick 3, where like Common and John Wick are shooting at each other with silenced pistols.
I love that.
In like the middle of a busy
train station,
subway station, and nobody hears it.
It's amazing.
Silencers
are amazing. It's just
silent.
not really.
I love the John Wick movies.
I know. I do too.
So, like in that John Wick scene that you're referencing, Ryan, like not only are silencers not that quiet, but like the sound of a bullet hitting concrete is incredibly loud.
Re-Matrix.
Speaking of the Matrix.
Yeah, it's coming out in December. We look forward to talking to y'all about that. Thank you for joining us on this Loki season 1. We really do appreciate it. We'll be back ? For episode 1 discussion on that. It will be premiering on August 11th, and then we'll probably be here on the 12th or 13th talking our words about it.
And then fucking Suicide Squad, baby.
Yeah, Suicide Squad, baby.
The first good DCEU movie is coming out.
Tell me if it's...
Joker was the first. Joker was the first.
Yeah, but it's getting great reviews so far. Although
Joker's
they
not
could
part
just
of the DCEU.
Sucking. Okay.
It's not part of the DCEU?
It is.
Joker's
not. It's extended.
Oh, Joker's not. Yeah.
It is, too.
Okay, fine.
Isn't this just like a fact that's right or wrong? Can't you Google it? Or
yeah, it's not.
Okay.
Well, before the episode ends...
Perfect. I'll keep saying words about other things. You Google something. James just put up a podcast he did with our pal Adam that he has dubbed The Cool Adam, which is hurtful, honestly, James.
How fucking dare you?
No, it was just a joke for the parentheses gag. Sorry.
No, The Joker is intended as a standalone film and is not part of the DCU.
No. On Wikipedia.
Wikipedia, anyway, you can be edited. I can change it right now and you would read it.
No, yeah, this is also the entry for the Suicide Squad Joker, so I was about to just be totally wrong.
Todd Phillips explains why Joker isn't connected to the DCEU.
Yeah, did he explain it in the latest Hangover movie?
Conjuring Verse. James did a podcast about it. He just put it up and it's dope, so definitely go check that out.
All right, so I guess Chad is quote-unquote right about this.
Jesus Christ.
My new podcast, Nothing Star Academy, drops on our Patreon, patreon.com/HBOBOYZ, on August 1st, or at least the first episode does. It's dropping on its own channel on September 1st. Episode 1 stars our pal, Adam Carner. Go follow that channel wherever you get your podcasts, as well as the Twitter account for more updates. James talked about Westytown a bit. You want to give us an update on the Westytowns? I'm looking forward to it.
Mm-hmm. I probably should be out by before August. I blow all these time limits I set for myself. This one, I'm almost probably going to hit.
I love being lied to, so I look forward to it either way. Adam and Chad, do you have any announcements you'd guys like to do? Or?
Yo, check me out, Nothing Star Academy, episode 1, September 1st.
I really appreciate that.
Adam and I are starting our own podcast.
Yep,
about,
it's called the HBO Boys, spelt properly.
Spelt properly.
Oh my God,
yep.
That's sick. Dude, if you do a podcast between you two, we will absolutely put it up. That's fucking hilarious.
You guys should just like one day email Ryan, be like, Ryan, here's our podcast episode we recorded in secret. Please put it up.
And it's like a 5-hour review of Disney's Hercules.
Oh, no, they do the fucking Snyder cut again.
No, absolutely not.
No, we're going to do, we're going to review movies as they came out in real time as though it were 1996.
Ooh, that's good. First one,
I
Jurassic
hate that
Park.
You just had a good idea. Fuck you. Okay, well, thank you, everyone, for joining us for Loki. And we'll see you in a few weeks. Say bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Bye, everybody.
Welcome one and all to Nothing Star Academy, the premier school for the violent wandering adventurer. Whether you're an 8th year, super senior, anxious to graduate and become the homicidal murder hobo you always knew you could be, or you're but a lowly serf, just weeks from getting unceremoniously hit by a pigeon at full speed that signifies you've been hand-selected to attend our prestigious academy, I welcome you back to Nothing Star.
Oh, hello. I am Saratoga Random Dent Jones, but my one friend calls me Jonesy. And I welcome you to the show, the inaugural episode. Very exciting.
Hi, I'm Ryan Brady. And that was a trailer for Nothing Star Academy, a podcast about a school where D&D characters go to learn about being violent wandering adventurers, like they needed the help. It's not just D&D, it's fantasy characters and sci-fi characters, and it's all the ones you know and love. I took Harry Potter and D&D and Lord of the Rings and, you know, you get it, and put them in a school, like Hogwarts, but different.
Anyway, it is a podcast that will be premiering on September 1st, 2021, and dropping on the 1st and the 15th of the month afterwards. I've been working really hard on it, so I definitely want you to listen to it. P.S. And by the way, you can come follow us on Nothing Star Pod on Twitter to get updates and stuff. I also host another podcast called The HBO Boys, where we recap and review television and movies, some of which aren't even on HBO, which I get is confusing. And if you listen to that show, you'll meet a lot of the pals that will be on Nothing Star in the future. It's like you were in a time machine, but and with a podcast. Sounds good to me. Anyway, fuck, the phone rang. I gotta go. Please join us on September 1st, and I'm getting to it. And I'll see you there. Thanks. Bye.